person here. You know why they're here. Lord, each one is your son, your daughter, your child. And I pray tonight, Lord, that as I speak, my words would not be my words, but your words. That, Lord, you would speak into hearts and answer the prayers that have just been raised to you. In your name. Amen. Okay. Dead simple quiz to start. Somebody can name this tune in one or whatever it's going to be. The simplest bit was I should have brought, see, prep. Should have got the song ready. You ready? Finish. What is it? Mission Impossible. You're right. Doesn't go on much longer, but we'll stop it there. That was the end of that. Thank you. Mission Impossible. Yeah, it is Tom Cruise. Or whoever you want. Yep, that's the original one. Mission Impossible. And what was the phrase when they played the mission? In the old days, it was on a cassette tape, I think, wasn't it? God, dear, that ages me. What was the phrase after they'd transmitted the mission? What did they say? Sorry? They did, but before that, they said, your mission, should you choose to accept it. And Maria's right, then they said, this will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Your mission, should you choose to accept it. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Our mission, should we choose to accept it? Our mission, should we choose to accept it? So let's start with a definition. We're going to look at mission. What is the definition of mission? Well, one of those trusty, reliable internet dictionaries told me the following. Mission is an important assignment given to a person or group of people, typically involving travel abroad. Hands up how many people are already thinking of the Welsh soccer team, Welsh football team. They're on a mission that everyone thought was impossible. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but they're certainly on a mission together. Or it's a vocation or calling of a religious organisation, especially a Christian one, the dictionary says. To do what? To go into the world and spread its faith, the Christian mission. That was the dictionary definition. So tonight we're looking at that second, the vocational calling to go into the world and spread its faith. Our mission, what it means to be on a mission, indeed what it means to be a missional church. See, Jesus clearly gave us a mission to accomplish. His mission. He commissioned us for that purpose. Matthew 28, you know this. It's even called the Great Commission. Jesus said the following. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's our mission statement. Pure and simple. Go into the earth, make disciples of all nations. That's the church's mission statement. It's our mission statement as a church. It's your mission statement as a Christian. Make disciples of all nations. Now remember, at that point, he was talking to 11 people. Make disciples of all nations. Boy, there's a mission impossible for you, isn't it? That must have sounded like a mission. You imagine just being one, I don't know how, but imagine being one of those 11. go and make disciples of all nations. And maybe Peter turned to John and he said, you what? What did he say? All nations? Yes, he did. However, Jesus also said this in Matthew 16:18. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, Jesus said he was going to build his church and nothing would stop it. And then he invited us, he commissioned us to partner with him in that work of establishing his kingdom, of building his church. So that is the mission statement, to partner with him in that work. How? By making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. If you like, that's the what of our mission statement. But then the question is, if that's the what, what's the how? How are we to do that? How are we to do that even today? Well, the answer is simple. Just the same way Jesus did. He's our model. He was the forerunner. He is our forerunner. You see, Jesus was the sent one. Father sent the Son, and in the same way Jesus sent his disciples, and in the same way you and I are sent today. See, God is a missional God, a God who sends. And let's be clear today, we in Gateway are a sent people. Not ascent, a sent people. You may feel like we're climbing a mountain at times. We've been chosen to do this one thing. As I said, to partner with him in building his church, making disciples and establishing the kingdom of God in Caerphilly and beyond. See, as Christians, we're not an institution. This church is not an institution, although the church itself and others have done one heck of a job at trying to make the church an institution and make it institutional. But its heart, the church is not an institution. It's a movement. It's a movement of people on a mission. I don't know whether tonight, sitting here, you feel like a movement on a mission. I'm coming back, I know this is dreadful for English, but I'm coming back to the Welsh football team again. You know, you look at them, the passion, the desire, the sense of purpose that's there, the sense of oneness that is driving them beyond expectations. We are a church who is on a mission. There's movement, there's passion, that's how we're to be. That's how we're to be. And how do we accomplish this? Well, again, Jesus modeled the way. And tonight, I'm going to look at five aspects of what Jesus did that I want us to just consider in terms of how we're to accomplish this mission. So the first, Claire, go on, you should be on the slide. You want to drop it down? Right, thank you. We need to see. We need to see as Jesus saw. We need to see what God is doing today in our own lives, in the church, and in our community. See, Jesus saw with spiritual eyes, with spiritual insight, filled with the Holy Spirit. Go and look up the stories of Jesus where it says, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus. See, it's so important that we're guided by the Holy Spirit. So we have spiritual revelation. We have to look beyond circumstances, look beyond events to see God at work. Because sometimes what we see with our own eyes is not the reality of what God is doing. It's so important. That's why you may wonder why we put such an emphasis on the Holy Spirit here. Well, you haven't worked out, the Holy Spirit is one of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So if you're saying, well, why emphasize the Holy Spirit? It's like saying, well, why emphasize God or why emphasize Jesus? The Holy Spirit is a person, and his role, multi-role, but one of his roles, is to allow us to see what the Father's doing, to connect with the Father and his purposes. So we need to see people the way Jesus saw people, to see the real need behind even their words and their actions. We need to have that insight into the real needs in our community. See, we're very good today at putting on a front. We all do it. I do it. We all do it. People in our community do it. Everything's okay. Yeah, I'm okay. And yet around us, there are people who are hurting. There are people who need Jesus. Do we see them? All around us, there are Christians too who are struggling. Struggling sometimes in their faith. Do we see them? All around us, there are people desperately wanting to be connected in to a community, but they're entrenched in loneliness. Do we see them? I was reminded as I prepared of Jesus and the story of him meeting the Samaritan woman. You know that story, you can read it in John 4, where this Samaritan lady, who wasn't supposed to mix with the Jews, she came to the well to draw water. But Jesus didn't see just a woman who had a physical need to get water. He saw someone with a real spiritual need and perhaps even a real spiritual dryness and desire for something beyond that. He saw a need for forgiveness from her past and a need for spiritual refreshment. He clearly had knowledge of a situation. He told her about a situation. She said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." Through the Holy Spirit, he spoke directly into her life. And again, another story, I don't know if you thought of this one, but this was, to me, another example of Jesus seeing a need. See whether this works for you. There's the story after Jesus' resurrection of the two disciples walking alone on the road to Emmaus. Walking along, and I've almost got this picture that they were sort of dragging their feet. Everything they hoped for had gone wrong. Everything was desperate. The guy they'd followed for years, they'd seen nailed to a tree. Jesus comes along and appears to them. Now here's a question. Why didn't Jesus just appear and say, "Guys, I'm here, it's me, Jesus, I'm alive, stop worrying"? But you read the story and that's not what Jesus did. You see, I believe it's because Jesus knew the real need in their lives. You see, the need wasn't just to know that their Lord and the one they'd followed was alive. There was a spiritual need for understanding. So what did Jesus do? Well, it says, starting with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all scriptures concerning himself. See, if he'd appeared, they'd know he was alive. They'd have felt better. But actually, as Jesus explained the scriptures, what does the Bible say? Their hearts burned within them. See, understanding the situation and what had gone led to real change. And I believe there's an example of Jesus seeing a real need. Secondly, Jesus connected, forgive the connect, Jesus connected with people. We need, as a church, to be relational. Now, I think this is a real strength of us in Gateway. It's in the DNA of the church. From day one, we're a relational church. We don't always get it right, but typically the DNA of Gateway is one of building relationships and being together. And it's so important as we grow as a church, which I passionately believe we're going to do, that we don't lose that, that we're intentional about growing relationships and maintaining relationships with each other and with our community. But there's a question today, because today there's a real problem. What's our strategy for building trusting relationships in a world where trustworthiness is in short supply? In a world where people no longer trust institutions as they perceive the church, where authorities are pretty much dismissed, and people don't trust even pretty much anyone they don't know. You and I know that's the world we live in today. How do you build trust in that kind of a world? Well, I was at a New Wine Leaders Conference a few weeks ago, and Julian Richards, the pastor of Cornerstone Church in Swansea, said this, which really resonated with me. He said, we build trust by a life well lived, a story well told, and by being a people who demonstrate in all kinds of manner that we are trustworthy. A life well lived, a story well told, and showing we're trustworthy people. Wow, there's a challenge tonight. Is your life well lived? What story do you have to tell? Do your friends consider you to be trustworthy? Would they say that you are a man or woman of your word? Now, don't be condemned by that. If you are, maybe you feel I'm okay. Because this is about the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Remember, we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of the culture of the kingdom. So this is about fruits of the Spirit. Love, patience, gentleness, self-control, etc. The Holy Spirit's at work in your life. You won't do this in your own strength. So a life well lived and a story well told comes through allowing the Holy Spirit to work within you and flow and work through you. It's all about living this kingdom culture that we've been talking about the last few weeks. It's not in your own strength. It's in God's power. And our outreach events, we've got a family week coming up and other events. You know, that's a chance to connect with the community. It's a chance for people to encounter God. Now, here's a thought. What if I say it's a chance for people to encounter God through you? Is that biblical? Can people encounter God through you? Well, I'm not saying we're a perfect representation, but I believe it's absolutely biblical to say that we are ambassadors of his kingdom, representatives of his kingdom, and people should be seeing something of the image of God and his kingdom in your lives. People seeing something of Jesus in us, even when you're squirting them with fairy liquid, or you're competing in them a tug of war, or whatever it happens to be, people seeing something of Jesus in us. And that will happen naturally if you allow God to work in your life. It's not something you have to go and, it's about building that relationship with the Holy Spirit and allowing him to work. So that's second. Firstly, seeing. Second, connecting. Thirdly, Jesus shared the gospel with words, works, and wonders. See, the commission, we were told not to just go in all the world, we were told to go in all the world to what? Make disciples and teach them all that I have commanded. So we've got to go and speak and teach the good news that the kingdom of God is near. And we then must demonstrate that kingdom through the way we act and the way we behave, through power. Biblical, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, our gospel came to you not only with words, but with power. As Gareth told us, it's show and tell, or tell and show. This is the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of God in action. And that was the key theme for our Holy Spirit Day a week last Saturday. We all need to have authentic kingdom marks in our life, to be authentic kingdom people, showing the gospel in all its fullness, words and power. And again, I was thinking about this and just how can I do that? How can I have the power of God at work in my life, and how can I do that? And I personally struggle with that. I'm sure a lot of you do, in just terms of how do I allow God's power to work in my life? And it doesn't seem to, you know, it doesn't seem to work at times. And Christy Wimber, John Wimber's daughter-in-law, said something which really, I just went, and she said, look, she said, the power of God flows into the works that he's doing. If you want the power of God in what you're doing, start by doing what he's doing. Because the power flows in order to enable God to do those things that he's determined he's going to accomplish. So if we want power and kingdom power, then we start by lining ourselves up and doing the things that God is doing and partnering with him. And I've been a Christian long, long time, and that just hit me again like a complete revelation, that don't go chasing the power, go chasing God. Line ourselves up and line your life up with what he wants you to do, and the result will flow. Comes back to that seeing and the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because I said the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal in our lives what God is doing. Remember, Jesus said, I only do the things that my Father is doing. That's where the power flows from. So we're all on this journey together. We're learning to grow in this. Folks, let's really encourage each other in it. And as a side, for those of you who are on the Holy Spirit Day and receive from God, what are you doing with that now? What are you doing with that gold gem that you received from God on that day? Don't reject the gifts that God gives you, but nurture and grow, water what he's given you. Ask him to help you grow in it. Remember that parable of the talents? What did God do? He rewarded those who used what he'd given them. Sadly, he rebuked those who didn't. So if you're sitting here today just remembering what God spoke to you on that day, ask him to water it. And fourthly, Jesus trained others. He trained his disciples. And I talked on this about 4 or 5 weeks ago. We had a whole talk on discipleship. And you remember we talked about the fact that Jesus taught about a new way of living, that kingdom way, so fundamentally different from the world. And why did Jesus get so many people's backs up? Because the ways he was talking about were so radically different from the way people were living. And remember, Jesus taught many, but he discipled a few. And it's so important that as members of this church and as Christians, we're willing to be trained. And as leaders, one of our responsibilities is to ensure that you have the opportunity to be trained and developed and grow into maturity. And training comes from two things. It comes from an understanding through teaching, and also from practical application. You have to apply what you're being taught. You know that if you learn to play the piano or musical instrument, it's all very good to have all the theory and be able to read music and whatever else, but you'll never learn to play the piano if you don't actually sit down in front of a keyboard and start to play. Yes, you'll have a wonderful, maybe you have a fantastic theory about music, but unless you play a note, you won't learn. So it's teaching, practical application. And again, look at the Gospels. If you go and look at the Gospels, maybe do a study. So many times Jesus taught on a kingdom principle. And what happened next? He did a miracle or did something in someone's life which demonstrated the reality of the teaching. Go look. It's almost like coupled together. The kingdom of God is like this. Then he shows it in a practical way. Practical working out of principles together. How do we do that? Well, I'll tell you. Our midweek groups, getting together in households, doing life together, it is vital for your growth. Absolutely vital. You can come here every Sunday, and of course I encourage you to be here every Sunday, but it's so important that not only do you come on a Sunday, but you get involved in one of the midweek groups. So if you aren't involved, I really encourage you to do that. They meet. There's pretty much a group every day. Some join the day, some the evening. It's such a vital time to actually start to work this stuff out together, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to start to put into practice the things that we're learning. Finally, Jesus gathered people together. Of course, he started by gathering his disciples together. He taught them to gather people into a community, into a body, into his church. And just some examples as I just skim through as I'm preparing, and there's lots of stories, but just crowds obviously gathered to hear Jesus talk, you know, the feeding of the 5,000, etc. They gathered to hear him. The disciples were all gathered together in one place at Pentecost. The parable of the wedding banquet, if you remember that, where there's going to be a wedding banquet, there's no guests. Jesus' servants go out, and what do? They gather people to invite them to the wedding banquet, a picture of the feast at the end of time where Jesus will gather all his believers together. And another picture of the end of time, Matthew 25:32, we read this. When Jesus comes again in all his glory, here's a big gathering, all the nations will be gathered before him. Jesus gathers people together. And Alan taught last week about belonging together, about being a body built together. We're to belong to a community and encourage others to be part of that community. We're a community of believers, a family. And as we grow, we're going to have smaller communities and bigger community. We're going to have a big community of Gateway that'll meet on a Sunday, but we're also going to have smaller communities gathering together midweek. And I'm so excited. I know this is a bit of a plug for midweek groups, but I'm not ashamed of that. They are so important to the life of our church and this mission we're on. And I'm so excited about this year and what's coming along in terms of just these midweek groups being community of believers that are on a mission together, whether it be in Castleview or Castlemaine or elsewhere in the town, wherever, communities of believers on a mission together to accomplish all that they've been told through the Great Commission to go accomplish. Passionate people discipling each other, reaching out into their community. So that's it. That's God's strategy for his mission impossible. It's a people who see as he saw. It's a people who connect with others as he did. It's a people who share the gospel in its fullness and in power. It's people who train others to do likewise. See, that's the other thing, I just a slight aside here. Church is not about one or two people, whether it be Gareth or Alan or Claire or me or whatever, Kath or whoever it is, rushing around doing the work and the rest of you cheering on from the sidelines going, go for it, guys, we're right behind you. You know, church is about you being on the playing field. It's about every one of you playing your part and being a part of this. See, the leaders or others in the church, we're only here to help you and equip you to go and do this stuff. If church is about four or five people doing all that Jesus asked us to do, guys, we got it wrong, right? This is about each of you in your seats here and those who are not here today or out in the Sunday school, everyone playing their part. This mission is yours. It's ours. So that's it. That's what Jesus did. Go into all the world, make disciples, teaching them everything that I've commanded you. Sounds like mission impossible, but remember, nothing, absolutely nothing, will stop Jesus' mission. His church will continue to be built. And we have this amazing privilege, it says on there, of partnering with him in this great mission. So to come back to the immortal line from Mission Impossible, our mission, should we choose to accept it? Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to partner with him in building his church, in bringing people into his kingdom, and changing lives, restoring lives, building people up, not knocking people down. All the things that we've talked about in this series. It's your mission, should you choose to accept it. I don't think there's anything more important in life. What a fantastic privilege. I love just seeing people come into faith and just grow in faith and hearing the stories of people saying, you can't believe the change that has happened to me and my family since I gave my life to Jesus. It's exciting stuff. So that's our Mission Impossible. Far from impossible, because we have a God of the impossible. And through him we can do all things. So we're going to go back into a time of worship now. As we do that, I just want to encourage you. I said at the beginning, unplanned, why are you here today? I do pray and hope that God has been speaking to you as I've spoken. This time of worship now, please use it. It's an opportunity. We've got plenty of time. Let's use it wisely. Can I suggest that as the musicians get ready to play, you just invite the Holy Spirit to continue to speak to you. If he's been speaking to you, just wait on that. Just rest in him. But just invite him to come to continue to speak to you. Come with hearts ready and willing to join him in this amazing task. And let's just worship this amazing God together. Thank you for listening.